Well, I want to tell you that today is February the 11th, 2002.
So?
And we're visiting with Joe McGill. So that's how I know what tape this is.
So what do you want to know?
Well, you can start with the Cartersville Grange.
Yeah, I told her we were in the Grange, and you were in it before we were in it.
Well, I can't tell you too much more, though.
Well, I know, but...
My grandfather was one of the ones that started.
The Cartersville Grange?
John McGill.
Which one?
His name was John McGill.
John?
Oh. He was supervisor. Back them days, the township was made like now, two sections.
Yeah.
He was the upper supervisor. The supervisors collected the tax.
Oh, they did.
And you know, back them days when it was horses, people didn't come to pay the tax. If you wanted the tax, you had to get them. So my grandfather spent a lot of time on the road.
Wow.
And he was supervisor. He did that for 35 years. And he lived down there, you know where that pillars are down Akathon Road, where that gate was? It's a guard gate now. But, you know, two stone pillars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that was my grandfather's farm.
What year was that then? About. Do you have any idea?
He was. Let me think a little bit.
Well, it was your grandfather, so.
He was my grandfather.
So, how old are you?
Huh?
How old are you?
I'm 83.
So, let's say your father would be.
He's 100 and something.
Yep.
My dad was born in 1878.
He remembers
the blizzard of 88.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about it. He said, there wasn't no fences. You could look out across the country and there wasn't no fences. They were all covered up.
Wow.
And they said that the horses got such a crust on the snow that held a horse and a sleigh up and this one right. Went right over the fences, and they had to dig a tunnel from the house to the barn to get to the barn to do the chores.
Did he tell you all that?
Yeah.
Wow. So if they dug a tunnel, they'd have to put the snow someplace. They'd have to keep bringing it in or melting it or whatever. But I think people died during that blizzard.
Oh, yeah,
I heard that people died.
That was the worst storm we ever had in this part of the country. Still the worst. That was the worst one.
Well, your grandfather must have started the Grange then about 75 years ago, at least.
Oh, longer than
100 years ago, because...
When I was back, remember, we had a 100...
That's right.
100 anniversary.
Yeah.
So,
when we were in the Grange, we had...
Well, the Grange was started about 1851, something like that.
Well, that's when he started it.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And that was called the Cartersville Grange, and it had a number.
451.
Cartersville Grange, 451.
Yep, there it is.
Wonderful.
I told Sally we had to give it up because we didn't have enough members anymore. We just had...
I hate to do that.
Huh?
I hate to do that.
I know.
There's a lot of back history there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
So, did I hear that you were one of five children? Eight children. How are you related to Jim McGill, who was mayor of New Hope?
His first cousin.
Oh, first cousin. His
father was... Doc McGill, Roscoe McGill.
Oh, yeah.
He was my father's brother.
Oh.
My father had three brothers and five sisters.
Wow.
The oldest brother was Howard McGill. And you don't know it, but down there, that house where they used to have the post office before they moved back across the road.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be a blacksmith shop right there. I remember when the timber still lay there yet from it. And then up there with that house, the first house on top of the hill before you go down there, the blacksmith shop was in there too. And that's where my uncle, He learned the blacksmith shop.
You up in Solbury?
Yeah. He learned that trade there. Oh, wow. He worked for a guy by the name of Operator or something like that.
Huh.
And then when he got married, well, he married a girl by the name of Scott. And he bought that farm down there where Henry Carey just sold out, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And he lived there for a good many years. And at that time, you know, there was all McGill's. He lived there where we live, where Kings live.
Oh, Bob and Jane King?
Oh, right.
And then, you live there?
And my grandfather's farm. So there was McGill's, all three of those farms right there.
Wow.
Well, then after my dad had to sell that place because the house was getting too small. He didn't have any kids. So then we bought that farm over on Paxson Road, what they call Center Hill Farm now. It was 114 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I dug this history stuff out.
Oh, good.
You better read it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll copy it and then give it back to you.
Well, I got it. I got a history about Gibbons this morning, too.
Oh, really?
Really?
I think our farm, it's kind of hard to understand. And what's her name? Mrs. Clover? She said, after she read the stuff that I had and what she had, she said, man, she said, I'm up to creek. I don't know what to think now. Because so much of it's alike. And all those people that owned these places were Paxsons, and they're all the same name, Henry, George.
Yeah, I know.
Same name, Henry, yeah. Henry, Henry, Henry.
Oh.
And Henry sold the farm to Henry. John,
yeah.
Henry sold to his son. And I just got it out today, and I've read some more of it.
Huh.
And I thought our farm was just as old as their farm. Well, it was a farm, I guess, but our farm, apparently what I've learned today, came off of that Gibbons tract, which was 900 acres or better. So that they kept selling pieces off, you know. Like Dorothy Harper's.
Yeah.
I think her farm is one of them.
Huh. Now, which was the Center Hill farm? I'm trying to place it.
That's, well, it came off of Aquitong or Sugan Road. You know what I mean? Paxson Road?
Paxson Road. Yeah.
Coming off of Sugan Road.
Yeah.
You go up there, there's a sharp turn, and you come down, there's another sharp turn.
Yeah.
People are going to run around in the driveway. It's that old barn. It's got those, don't have windows in it, has those things like that in the stone wall.
Oh, those little windows, those little air windows, or whatever they're called.
On which side of the road? The right side of the road.
Right side.
I think I know where you were.
We lived there 10 years. That's when the Depression came. And my dad, things were getting tough.
And your dad's name was?
His name was William.
William, and you were born, you lived right across the street here, though, too, didn't you?
Well, my dad, he kept moving back and forth from Solbury to Carsville. So first he moved, when he first got married.
Hello.
Yes, come on in. When he first got married, he worked for the day and tried to farm too.
Yeah.
This is
Rudy.
My name's Rudy. Gene Walton.
Yeah.
This is Dave Benner and
Sally.
Oh, hi.
Sally
Grand Jager. Very famous people.
No.
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 I'm trying.
Well, yes, you are. You better admit you're so well known for your beautiful garden.
Oh, I am. Yeah.
Oh, David Benner's known for his gardens.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I live up top of Solbury Mountain, so
okay.
I gotta go. David Benner's the famous one.
I hold a lumber up there for that house.
I bet you did.
I worked for Nisi.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, of course. Brett Hutchinson was our builder.
Damn steep hill, I'll tell you.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm just gonna run out. This is some Christmas stolen I had frozen. I just took it out of the freezer, so I thought you might enjoy it.
Okay, thank you very much.
And do you have your pants? You want to just tell me where they are?
Where do you live?
Point Pleasant.
Oh, you do?
Oh, up on another mountain.
Yeah.
Where the pump fight was.
Yes, well, that's another
where
thing.
Where I was in that.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, too, because your name was on the heroes list.
We should have won, too. We didn't. Because all the water's been used for development, so that's what's going to happen.
I know, it's Judge horrible.
Garb's walking up there, ice storm one morning, my God, you got to get up the hill. We used to walk that wall along the road there.
Mm-hmm.
See, we used to cut the fields, help cut up about half a mile or a mile. That was like 2.5 mile walk every day.
Which road are you talking about?
Right.
Paxton Road.
Well, if you excuse me, I have to run off.
Okay.
But I'll talk to you tomorrow, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Nice to meet you.
Take care. Yeah, the wind blew the door open.
No, you got to be careful. You shut it up.
I didn't shut it all the way. No. So, where were we?
Talking about my dad and where he lived.
Oh, yeah, where he lived, back and forth.
Well, you know that, you know where Gaybird Farm is up here?
Well,
you know, that's two farms, you know. There used to be a farm in the back.
Yeah.
And you have to go through the woods to get to it.
Oh.
Well, that was the first farm he lived on. He worked on that farm. And it wasn't a very big farm, it was in bad shape. Some guy owned it for a mess or something. But he worked in the creamery where they made butter there in Carversville.
Oh.
He did that for a couple of years. And then he decided to be a sharecropper. And the first farm he lived on was where for botanists live out here. You know where I mean?
Oh, yeah.
A guy by the name of Chris Roberts owned it. Dad lived in one end of the house, and the other guy lived the other end.
Hmm.
And that's where my oldest brother was. Well, the second oldest brother. My first brother was in that first farm. And my second oldest brother was born in that house. And he, you know, back in days, when it comes spring, they made a real agreement. So he made an agreement with somebody else, where Sylvanus's farm was, you know, up on the hill. And a guy named Robinson on that farm. I guess he's there a couple of years. You know, in the meantime, you could raise some of your own cattle and, you know, get started. And that's how my dad started. And then he rented that farm back there on Paxton Road where that airplane strip is. I don't know what the guy's name is.
Yeah, I know where you mean.
Dusick or something like that.
Yeah.
It owns it now. But Melissa Sutton owned it when he rented it. And she lived on that farm where Frudenthal lived there on next to Rice's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, he was there 4 years. He really made money there. He did real good. And that's where my two sisters were born. Then he had to get out of there. She wouldn't rent to him anymore. So then he bought this little farm where the kids lived.
Yeah.
That's 17 acres. And then he started to produce. He raised vegetables and stuff like that, of course. He had his own cows and their own chicken and their own pigs and farmed that little farm and raised that stuff, strawberries and all that bullshit stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he used to go to Philadelphia. You picture this. He had to get up 5 o'clock in the morning, load that truck, drive all the way to Philadelphia, and it only went about, 15, 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, I know.
Drive to Philadelphia, down there all day, get back here night. Then maybe the next day he would back up again, and he had a route in Lambertville. That's when Lambertville had a lot of factories in it. A lot of money there back them days. And that's how he worked. He did that for 10 years.
Oh.
And then finally he sold that farm. I think Petusky bought that farm. And then he bought that big farm over there on Paxton Road. We lived there 10 years. And then he got there, we started out with like 5 or 6 gallons, and kept more, you know, finally went up about a dozen. And he started milk route. And he delivered milk every day, had to do it every day. There was no refrigeration back in the days. Right. Every day he went to Lumberville and across the covered bridge, used to be there, Lumberville, over to Raven Rock, went all the way up, partway up that road there. Yeah. And that was a muddy, damn, rock and roll road.
Still is.
Yeah. Well, no, it's blacktop now.
Yeah, it was even rutted then. But
you talk about Raven Rock. Yeah. Raven Rock don't look any more like it did when I was 7 years old, and day looks like night. All the stuff that there was going, you know, the water tower for the railroad used to be there, big with a big cellar in it, nice and warm in there, because I know. Huh. And then there was a station. Back of the station, there was a house. That's all gone. All that stuff used to be gone. Used to be houses on the island. They're all gone. So, and the road's blacktop now. There used to be a little store there in Raven Rock.
Raven Rock.
Really?
People remember Robinson's at it.
It's in, you go to Stockton?
Huh?
Yeah, you go. He didn't know where Raven Rock is.
I've heard
it's
of it.
It's on Route 29 going north.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's across by Bull's Island.
Bull's
Island. You know where that
is?
Bull's
Island.
Well, that's it. Across the railroad track, that's Raven Rock.
Oh,
right,
really?
Raven Rock.
There's a quarry up there, too. Yep. And I don't know whether that quarry runs anymore or not.
Huh. There used to be a factory up there on the left-hand side that a woman lived in, and now it's other people live there. I've been to this place that was a factory of some sort.
I don't know.
And they have...
when you get up there, I don't know. All I know is a quarry up there, and as far as I can tell
you. That's all you know, right.
But I remember going on when I was old enough to go to school. One day I went, once in a while I'd go with my dad on a milk route. In the wintertime, we had to drive the horse and the wagon because the packing road was mud. Pull the rear out of the car about every year, you know. So, and I remember being in a Jagger wagon, the damn train comes, that horse is screwing the train. Oh, boy. My dad was a good horseman. Boy, he held on to her. She tried to get away. She was that kind of a horse. The horse, she'd run right away. She'd run right away when something was broken on the horse. She'd run right away. Yep.
Yes. Do you know what kind of cows you had? Were they Holsteins or were they grade cows?
We started out with, like every old farmer back in the days, they were cross. Used to be a lot of Durham cattle back in the days. Some Durham, you know. And we had one was Durham, and we had half blood, Jersey half blood, something else.
Yeah, right.
But then I tell you more about that. About 1925 or something like that is when they passed the law. Everybody had the cow's blood TB test.
That's right.
Oh,
true. Right.
And my dad lost the first time. He lost all of them at 5. Had to need milk. He was lucky because Howard Paxton, he lived over here on Sawmill Road, and so did Rich Foods, and they used to take the milk to Creamery, so they kept the milk for my dad, and we used to go over there every day and get the milk from them. And then when they had about 1 or 2 cows left, then they come back the second time, and lost all of them.
Oh.
Well, he had to do something. For a little bit, and we couldn't put anything in our barn until it was disinfected and passed by the state. So we couldn't buy cows and put back in there. We had to do something else. At that time, where Clovers lived, that barn was empty.
Oh, really?
Matthews had just moved back there. People named Hellers owned that farm back then. So George Matthews left my dad. He went somewhere. We had over Washington Crossing Park is on the Jersey side.
Yeah.
Well, part of that was a farm where they had, the guy was a Hindu, but he came from India or some damn place. But he was a little short black guy, but he was a cattle dealer. So my dad found out, his name was Nininger. And my dad found out about it, and he went over and he bought two Holstein cows. One had a big white face and great big tits on her, and the other weren't quite that big, but the other was a better milker. And that's when I first learned to milk, that big Holstein cow. When I was 8 years old, I'd get up 5 o'clock in the morning and help do the work. So then we got them two, and then by that time, I think the barn was disinfected. Then he bought two more, and they were all Holstein. And then he went back another time, and he bought two Guernseys. We got 10 cents a quart for the Holstein milk, and the Guernsey milk, he charged 12.
Because of the butter fat.
Can you imagine how he made a living doing that? If he delivered 200 quarts of milk, that's $20 a day.
Yeah.
A hell of a lot of work, I'm telling you, for $20 a day.
One works harder than a dairy farmer. One works harder than
any kind of a farmer.
Yeah, any kind of.
Those cows have got to be milked twice a day.
Yeah, better believe it.
Whether
so that's what we
like
did.
It or not.
When we got that damn TB, what they call Homie Horse Farm up here on Sawmill Road where Schaefer lived. Well, a guy lived there, his name is Isaiah Clausen. He was a cattle dealer. My dad bought a cow for that, and she was rotten with that TV. And that's where I got all that damn TV for that damn cow, for sure. Because it couldn't be anywhere else, but most of all the cows we had, we raised ourselves.
Yeah.
We didn't buy them anywhere. We bought that damn cow from that guy. Then there's another guy who used to be a dealer. His name was Jay Sanderson. He lived down Crook Road, where they said that other mill used to be, where that girl had the store in Carsville. What's her name? He's a supervisor. Pullinger, whatever his name is. Anyway. Dyson had known that property right there. Was a barn there and a pasture all the way down along the creek from the dam. I think he owned from the mill all the way down to that bridge down there that goes up back road. And he dealt more in horses. He didn't deal with my dad used to buy horses up there too.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Is that when Rice's Market was just livestock? Or?
I worked there. I worked at Rice's.
Oh,
yeah. Well, that was started years ago, long before me.
Yeah.
Long time before me.
Right.
But it was started by, I think that was his name. Lynn Rice.
Lynn Rice.
Lincoln.
Lincoln Rice.
They called him Lynn Rice.
Yeah.
Now, I think he got it from his father. That's when they started this. At first, they just used to sell a few chickens and rabbits and a few things like that, and cows and horses and stuff. And then there got to be all this junk coming here, the flea market stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the way it was. So when I worked there, I was about 16 years old, maybe 14. I know I used to ride a bicycle from here over there. So. When I worked there, they had one guy selling the horses and the mules and stuff down the barn, and another guy selling the hogs, and another guy selling the chickens. Then they had another guy with the junk.
Oh.
So they had four auctioneers there.
Wow.
Oh, it was an auction.
And what my job was, I went over there in the morning and I had to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and old Lynn, he was already out there, and he used to get these, all these leghorn cockles,
Yes.
People would bring them there, I don't know why he bought them or not anyhow, but he used to take cracked corn and soak it with water and then feed them, and that made them way more, you know.
Oh, jeez.
And so that's what he did. So I used to help him do that. And then by that time, people start bringing in chickens. And I'm telling you, they brought a lot of stuff in there. There was me and Howard Price and Frank Wood and Bill Banbury worked the scales. And us three guys, we were busy about all the time. And that there, you know, that brick, that block building was there where Rudy committed suicide.
Yeah.
We used to have that thing full. We used to be pens, you know, rows of pens. And we have chicken crates piled up as high as you can throw them. And those guys that bought those chickens, it was the crookest package ever. One time I was working there and I seen a guy, he had chickens in this second or bottom of the floor, and he put his crate down, took them out, filled them in there. Another guy come along, he put his crate up, talking to another guy's crate, filled his up, picked them up, and dug them both. I seen it happen to him three times. And boy, they used to have the damn fights there, you know, and I don't blame the guys in fight.
Yeah.
There were characters come in there. Came from Princeton and Jersey City, and you know, guys bought chickens, and some of them, maybe from Philadelphia too, I don't know where the whole comes from.
The noise level at that auction must have been incredible, with the chickens and the pigs and the auctioneers and the horses.
Well, of course, me being a farmer, that.
Yes, you know, there's the noise.
And they also sold rabbits and in the chicken house, you know. We sold rabbits and dogs and cats and more.
Who was the guy that committed suicide?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Love Rice. You know, the Rice who works over in us, works on the...
Oh, yeah, in the township building.
Yeah.
His Dudley name. Rice's...
Dudley.
Dudley, not Rice.
That's another Rice.
Oh.
No, his name is, I'll tell you the man. Oh, his right name is Rulof. They used to call him Sonny, but Junior. They call him Junior.
Oh.
He's a nice kid. Rulley Rice was the nicest person that I ever had anything to do with in my life. And I had a lot to do with a hell of a lot of people. He would lend you anything he had. But that his brother married a woman who was nuts. Mm. They put her in a damn nut house one time. Mm. And they found, and then it was going to lay around. When he found out she was coming back there, that's when he committed suicide. He couldn't take it no more. And I was over there about 10 days or so before this happened. And I could see right away there was something wrong with him. You know, he was losing weight.
Just despondent.
Oh, my God. He was the nicest guy. He was a great big guy. Strong. He could back up. When I worked for Fruit, though, I used to kill a steer, you know, cut it in quarters. He would get his ass out, cut it off, walk right away with that 250 pound on his shoulder. I don't know anybody in my life could do that.
Was it his wife that was sick?
No.
His brother's wife.
Oh. They lived together?
He had a brand new car, and she took her car and ran right in his car, matched his car all up.
Did they all live together, or what?
No, John, he lived down on 202 somewhere.
Oh.
Really, he lived in a farmhouse. And he had a sister that lived there, and her name was Clara. She was a nice woman, too. And then he married Bert Vasey's daughter. Her name was Laura Vasey.
Oh.
No, her name was Laura. What the hell was her first name? Anyway. Maybe you remember Harvey Vasey living in that house along the road there?
Yeah, I sort of remember that.
He had a daughter who was a school teacher. Really married her late in life. He was about 35, 40 years old when he got married. And he was a hell of a nice guy.
Well, why did he get so upset with his brother's wife if they didn't live near him?
Well, she just kept...
Did she bother him?
Or? Oh, she kept bawling all the time.
Oh.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Wrecked things for him. And when I had the feed mill, I'd go over there and I'd take the feed in and say, she come to me and say, "Who ordered this? Who ordered this?" And they really told me, "Don't pay attention. Just keep right on. Yeah. Don't hear. Don't say nothing."
Yeah.
And that's the way. That's the way I go. She would come to me and go all through that bullshit, and I get in the truck and get the hell out of there. She was nuts. And she ruined it. And they had a lot of money. They were making money there. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
When the war was on, black market meat.
Oh, yeah.
And they had their own slaughterhouse. And oh, one boy, much the government couldn't check up on them too much.
Yeah, oh, boy.
And they really made money. They had money. He had money. She lived a damn good life after he died.
How did he kill himself?
Hung himself.
Huh?
Hung himself.
Oh, gee.
He didn't come to supper. And the mother says to daughter Abigail, I said, "Why don't you tell your father to come to dinner?" Jesus Christ. Detesting that girl. So what did it reckon her besides? And I heard it. I just had to pick up the telephone. That's when you can hear all the people talking.
Yeah.
And I thought a lot of really right. He was a hell of a good guy.
Mm. So was it around World War II? Was it like 1940 that this happened? Or 50s? Or about?
Well, I got to think a little bit. Yeah, I've lived a long time, you know. We had just built this house. That must have been 1950.
1956
or 8, something like in there.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We just built this house. I know that, so.
So you worked for Nisa's Lumber for a while?
I worked for 10 years. No, 5 years.
5 years. Is that when the Blairs had it?
Yeah.
Tom Blair and...
They're bitches, you know.
Oh, they are. Well, Tom has moved out to Oregon.
Yeah, it's a good place for him. He don't want to work no matter where he is. He ain't going to work. He's a bum.
Yeah.
He just happened to get in with a woman with a lot of money. That's what saved his ass. He didn't work when he's down there. He was a partner with his brother while, you know.
Right, right.
Shit, he didn't do nothing.
Well, I knew his mother.
And the old man, he wasn't any better. He was lazy as hell,
yeah,
too.
I know.
Huh?
I knew his mother.
She was a hell of a nice woman.
Yeah. She was over in the nursing home for years over
she
here.
She was a hell of a nice woman.
She was nice. I liked her.
She was a nice woman. She was nicer to any of the rest of them bastards that's in there. Junior, you know, he could be a beanbag.
Yeah.
And I mean mean.
Yeah.
One time he picked the guy and threw him out the door.
Oh. Well, you, so therefore, you drove truck,
The way that happened, you know, I run the feed mill down here at the Grist Mill Carpentersville. I run it off of Walt Lizzie.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, he decided he wanted it back, so I had to get out.
Oh.
Should have bought it, but I didn't. Yeah. Anyhow, I had to get out. That time I was friends with Louis Schmidt down at Lahesty. He was a hardware salesman. He got around, and he was smart. And he said, "Joe," he said, "why don't you go see Mr. Neese? They're looking for somebody to run their mill down there." So I went down and saw Mr. Neese. And so I start running their mill. But, you know, then I got a chance to work in a post office. New Hope, and I worked part-time in a post office. And sometimes I used to get out there and run the mill, do the grinding and milking after dark.
Oh.
I used to make 12 hours a day or something like more. I had to be down the post office at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, Bob, what the hell's his name, Aslow?
Oh, Bob.
Yeah, Bob Aslow.
Yeah.
He's another asshole.
Yeah.
He come to him and he said, "Well," he said, "I don't think we can keep you anymore." He said, "Things ain't working around." "And what ain't working around?" He said, "Well, you're supposed to learn this matter route." He never told me to come and, you know, work on the matter route.
Yeah.
You know, Chap Matthews, he was a soup vice president. Supposed to be a good friend of mine, you know. And I said, well, give me a couple more licks and see what you think. He says to Mike, what do you think? And he said, well, you do whatever you want to do, you know. I never talked to Chapman ever since.
Yeah.
Well, I think they used me rotten. I don't know what it is, you know. They just, he found out somebody he liked better.
Yeah.
So that's how he got rid of me.
Yeah.
What the hell? Bob Lashley, he didn't know his ass in the hole ground about how to run that post office. It wasn't for Bob McNamara being in there and Chad Matthews, he couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
He couldn't possibly have done it.
Yeah.
He wasn't that smart.
Yeah.
Well, I used to take Penny's daughter, son. You know Penny Blair?
Oh, Penny
Sanders.
Penny Sanders.
Penny Sanders.
Yeah, well, what was her name before that?
Blair.
She married that guy. Had the in there in Learyville.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, he bought an airplane, and she didn't really have an airplane. That's when they got in a scrap, and they separated. Then she got in with Sandra. Well, she didn't stay with him very long, either.
No.
Well, she's still in the farmer's club, but she don't come anymore, does she?
She hasn't been for quite a while, no. I told her the next one she better come to.
Well, anyhow, when I worked there, I used to take that son over to Kennedy's school over there on River Road, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I just took the boy over there. He's grown up, man. Man, he is. I took two of them there. Couple of kids. Oh, who the other kid was? Something related to them, some damn hell. I don't know how it was. I used to take a kid over there to school sometime in a truck.
That was over to Solbury School or over to the one-room schoolhouse?
No, she had a little school back off of River Road there. Where that oil line goes across, you remember that?
She
lived back in there. Her name was Kennedy.
Oh, yep. Didn't she have the homeschool school? No, that was homeschool.
Huh?
No. I'm just thinking out loud. I have my schools mixed up.
What else?
You went to school. Tell me where you went to school. You went to the one-room schoolhouse?
I went to that little school in Solbury.
And
then my dad sold the farm.
Yep.
That's when I hurt my leg. I went to the hospital. When I come back to the hospital, they had already moved over here.
You go to the hospital in Doylestown?
Hell no. I went to Doylestown Hospital then.
No, there wasn't?
I went to Northeastern Hospital in Philadelphia.
Oh.
Tupanilligating. Doc McGill, my uncle,
yep.
He was a clinic, eye clinic.
Hmm.
He went down there twice a week. And he took me down there. Of course, my mother went with me and took me. I was only 12 years old.
What happened to your leg? I forgot what.
Oh, we lived on Paxton Road there. It was just the 1st of October. And Ed Paxton, I don't know where you ever, did you know Ed Paxton? Owned that farm next to us.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't fix the fence. So my brother, he had tore a porch off his house and threw all the stuff out there and probably was going to burn it. My brother got one of these hemlock floorboards. You know how damn hard a hemlock is to get a nail in.
Yeah.
Well, and I was there with him. He said, well, Joe, get on the other side and hold this board. I'll put a nail in there. Throw my leg over the goddamn splinter right on my kneecap. Went in there about like that. And I didn't know it. I didn't feel it go in. But I felt it coming out. He said, oh, what the? I thought it was a stick in my pants, you know. I said, what the fuck? My God, John. Jack said, you want me to get it out? No, I get it out. I worked on it. I got it out. I said, all right. Went on helping him. Walked up to the house. That day, I had a cousin. She was a school teacher. She used to live with us in the summertime. She was like a sister to me. So she was up there. My sister and her were going to take a walk. So I went along with her, you know. The further I walked, the more it hurt. Finally, we got back there at Garber's, and she went and got the car and brought me up home. So, just by chance, Doc McGill was up at our neighbors, and Henry's neighbors. So he came down there, and he looked at it. He told my mother to get, you know, ID really comes in rock form. Do you know that?
What comes in rock form?
Iodine.
Iodine, yes it does.
Well,
yep, right.
So we got some of that rock iodine. Oh. Kept soaking my knee with that and sitting with it. Well, I walked to school. That was on a Sunday. I walked to school. Monday, a long walk, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you used to cut across the field, but still it was a long walk. I walked to school that day. I walked to school the next day. The next day, it was windy, and it was raining. And I guess my mom was going to go to the doctor anyhow, but somebody, they come and picked me up at school, took me down there and dropped me. He said, well, you got, he took a Harvard needle and stuck in there. If you got anything, it'll hurt you, by God. Yeah, that's before they had anesthesia, you know. Damn, that hurt.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So he sucked that fluid out of there.
Yeah.
He did that a couple times, and then finally, a week went by. I don't know why I kept on walking to school. I think I did, but I'm not sure. Well, that's been long years ago. And then it finally took me down to the hospital and I had a nice day there. They set up a jug, a gallon jug, and they put a lot of Harvard needles. Each one had a hose went for the jug. Now they put pressure on there, vacuum. Sucked all that stuff out of my knee. There was that much in that bottle of that jug.
Oh.
So, man, did I suffer that night. Swell up. They put a board on me so I couldn't bend my knee.
Yeah.
You know, that hospital had all the nurses, most of the nurses never came from the coal mines. Big, husky Dutch girls. Beautiful, wonderful people. And I was suffering finally. She came and got it. She took the scissors and chopped the damn board off and made the tape longer and put it back on again. It was swelled right on top of the bed.
Yeah.
Well, I was in the hospital there for 2 weeks. I had an uncle that lived in Philadelphia. He would stop once in a while and see me. That's the only people I saw except Dick, my brother, was just here. He came one time and my uncle stopped to come in and see me. And I guess my aunt from Philadelphia, she stopped in, or her son, one or the other, anyhow. Finally, they took me to her house because they were moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she kept me to her house in Philadelphia. They lived not very far from Hyde Park, where the Jive Park, where they had ball games.
Oh, yes.
Well, she don't,
baseball.
Well, he was a doctor in Philadelphia.
Oh.
His name was Blarge. Octavius Pearl Large. Nice guy. My aunt was a nurse one time.
Mm.
And she had two kids. Bud and Jane. Jane was a school teacher. Bud, he learned to be a doctor. He was a top surgeon. Frankfurt Hospital for a good many years. And finally, he went into this, what do they call this, skin problem. What do they call that kind of surgery?
Dermatology? No, skin?
No, well, they work on you, change your
looks.
Oh, plastic surgery.
Yeah, well, he got doing that.
Oh.
And his last name was Large.
Oh.
It related to the Maud Large that is out here, that is...
We're related. Well, my grandmother was large.
Your grandmother was a large.
Oh. That don't have nothing to do with him.
No.
Two different larges there.
Okay.
You know, you do remember Roy Large lived in New Hope?
Yes.
Well, he was the first cousin of my dad.
I see. Yep.
He was a hell of a nice man, too.
Yep. Right.
And he had a daughter, Miriam. Married Wagner. And after that, I don't know if you agree. That was one of her husbands, anyhow. Anyway, geez, I could talk to you forever.
Yeah, well,
we're going to. We're going
well,
to just get you warmed up.
So you were 12 when all this knee thing happened.
When your leg happened.
So anyhow, So then we lived over here, and I didn't go to school for a while. My dad did it. He took a job running. Remember, they used to deliver paper goods around the farms, home to home. You remember when they did. You don't remember that, do you?
No.
Paper goods?
Huh?
What kind of goods?
Bakery.
Bakery goods. Oh, bread route.
Yeah, well, yes. There was a place over in Sodder called Sodder and Bakery Company. The guy was not always a Mennonite, but he was a goddamn crook. Yeah. His name was Godshaw.
Oh, they're very famous.
So anyway, they had some kind of trouble. My dad did that for a while. And they were trying to take him over.
Really?
My dad had to go to court and get his money out of it. Arthur Eastman, one of the best damn lawyers there ever was.
Who is?
My dad, Arthur Eastman.
Oh, Eastman.
Oh, Eastman. Arthur, right. Yeah. Arthur Eastman.
A little different than the Eastmans are there now.
William Eastman.
I don't think too much of these guys there now. No. No. They took me over too, I tell you too. More. Anyway. What did I tell you about that?
So you're talking about
The bakery room.
Yeah.
The bakery room.
Gotcha.
And your dad had to
go. So then after that. So, when we moved over here, we just rented that place.
Oh.
Because he didn't know what he was going to do, We lived here about 2 months. Guy comes, knocks on the door one Sunday morning. My daddy said, I got somebody's going to buy this place. But he says, if you want to buy it, I'll give you the first chance. My dad said, by God, I ain't moving right away.
Yeah.
So he gets the goddamn money out of the bank and pays him for it.
Do you remember how much it went for?
Well, I think he paid $3,300 for it, something like that.
$4,300 for a farm and how many acres?
17
acres.
No.
No?
Only 10 acres.
Okay.
Only 10 acres.
Well, you're talking about two different farms now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Bob King's farm was 17 acres. This farm was only 10 acres.
10 acres.
Well.
Yep.
So, he didn't have no job. Depression. No money, no job. You couldn't find a job. Couldn't buy a job.
No. And 8 children to support.
Well, I don't know where Vance was. He was working somewhere else, and Harry was working somewhere else. My sister's husband got out of work. She had a kid or two. He had to take them in. Then Harry came home and take him in. Oh. How the hell I don't know how my dad did it.
I don't know how your mom did it. Having to cook all those.
People complain about work. They don't know what the hell work is.
Yeah, I know.
God, the work my mother did, we lived there back on that farm at Packton Road. She didn't can cheese stuff but a bushel. She washed tubs full. Took a whole damn wash tub full, and her and my sister would do that in one day, and next day, back again, doing another. She had shelves, hundreds of jars of stuff, make grape butter, canned up string beans. We had a cellar in it there. We used to pick potatoes and had a screen, so we took the dirt out, dumped potatoes down this screen and right down the cellar, and then we had a bin down there. Mm-hmm. They held about 3 or 4 tons of potatoes. We used to sell some out of there in the wintertime, but we had the milk route. So besides selling milk, we'd sell some wood, we sold some potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
People would straw for the dog and hay for the horse. Mm-hmm. Little things like that, and all that helped, So that's how we made a living. That time, Lumberville was more booming than it is today. That's when Rube Stever had the Black Bass. And across the road, there was a big barn there.
There was.
Livery stable. But there wasn't no horses in it that time, but there's a guy named Klein. He had a pit there, and he fixed automobiles.
Oh.
Old Joni Carr, he was the bum of Lumberville, drunk half the time. And he had a bed and everything in one of those stalls, and that's where he lived, winter and summer, that's where he lived. Oh, no heat, no nothing. How the hell he lived, I don't know, but that's what he did. I could
Tell me his name again.
Junie Cords. He had a brother that lived in Solbury.
The last name was Cord, C-O-R-D? No.
Corns.
Corns.
C-A-R-A-I-C-A-R-R-N-S or something like that.
Corns. Corns. Okay.
Junie Cords. And that's the first ice cream cone I ever had was out of Ruth Stevers. My dad bought it. And it was 5 cents. 5 cents. The tolls on the bridge were 10 cents, 1 cent to walk. Dickie Schneider was a toll taker. And he was a triple, always cutting up kind of a guy, you know. Used to like tease me, you know, and I'd be with my dad. So that's so much for that. Do you know about... Used to keep circus animals here in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Marvin Bailey used to keep circus horses here and stuff in the wintertime.
I didn't know that.
Where?
Well, there's several places. One place was on Comfort Road where Super lives. Not Super, what's that other guy's name? Ravenous?
Ravenous,
yes.
Used to be a big bar there.
Yeah.
That burned down when I was about 7 years old or something like that.
Yeah,
maybe I was only six. I remember burning walls yesterday. The guy lived in that little farm next door. He said, "Why the?" He got wacky. But after he did that, the family, he had burned other people. Two buildings down. His name was Cornell.
Cornell.
Anyway.
So they kept horses? Do they keep elephants or anything? Just horses?
Well, that was one place they kept them. Now I think that's when Mortimer's lived there. And then another place was, do you know where Bill Berg Farm was up on the Carsville Road? They got all houses there now. Well, you know where Stover's Mill Road is?
Yeah.
Well, up there, it's the farm between Carsville Road and Stover's Mill Road. Okay. It's all built with houses now.
Yeah.
Well, that was another one. That was, his name was... Allie Knight, Alfred Knight. A lot of people don't know this, but there was a cult that called Father Fourpaw, and he was one of them.
Father Fourpaw?
And they say he would be out in the middle of the field praying and carrying on. My dad told me about that.
Oh.
And they kept, I think, camels, ponies, horses, whatever, you know, stay in the cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a building there, they made a dormitory, and some of those guys from the circus stayed there and helped take care of them. And all they fed those horses and stuff was corn fodder, ground up corn cobs. Stuff as cheap as I could feed them, you know. Just something over the winter, that's all I wanted to do. And used to be a lot of people come there all the time, you know, seeing these animals.
Yeah.
That was, and that's why I'm right next to it. Well, Harry Price was the last farmer lived in there. What the hell? That's on the off of Sawmill Road. It's all houses now, but the farm in there. And that was another place where they kept them. And that's when the guy by the name of Grimm lived there then. He kept some of those horses there. That was a bad proposition. A lot of people like to get that. Right? So my dad, when they used to bring him in, I think my dad helped him. I know he told me that anyhow. When they come in to Raven Rock Railway Station, the railroad cars, those horses, whatever the show was on, they had whatever they had on the saddle, whatever they had on them, that's what they had on when they got there. As soon as that show was over that day, they were railing right in that thing. Mm. Everything they load up in the railroad cars. Mm. When they got to Raven Rock to come there, and that's when that covered bridge had a gate on both ends. And they used to get kids like my dad was a young boy, you know, and these young guys, and they'd help take them up to the farm. And my dad used to help sometimes. Zay Carson would get load of cows from Ohio or somewhere shipped in there.
Then they cross the river on the bridge.
Across the river. But
it was a covered bridge?
Yeah.
It was a covered bridge.
Covered bridge.
No, it's a walking bridge.
Yes.
Oh, of course, lots of times. A covered bridge. Lots of times.
Did it burn or what?
Huh?
No, flood took it out.
Oh, the flood took it.
Flood took it out. Hurricane.
No.
No?
Nothing. You're wrong.
Well, not the first time, Joe.
The first 1904, a piece of bridge came down the river and hit this Lumberville bridge and took a hunk out of it.
Oh.
So then they put that orange span in there. And then Friday, when I was going to college, that was about 1940, they condemned it and said they had to tear it down. That's when they tore it down. And I think Lever took a lot of that lumber for that bridge, and that house of Levers over there was that bridge.
Was that bridge?
A lot of guys, that was damn good stuff.
Yeah. Sure. Chestnut, timber. Usually.
Huh?
Did they build bridges out of chestnut?
I can't tell you that. Probably right.
Cedar, chestnut.
Chestnut was the most
most
lumber they had back in the day.
Yep.
Well, that's when we moved from here over to Paxton, man. That's when the blight hit, about when I was about 2 or 3 years old. And I remember going, my brother was just here, going down the woods and looking around. We just found a little matchbox full of chestnuts, all you'd find. Just a few of them still yet. Anyway, that's when my uncle, that farm where Kerry lived, remember them big long chicken houses over there? That came out of our woods. It was all chestnut trees that my uncle took out of that woods and had lumber made out of it and built those chicken houses. My dad and him, I think he'd give my dad a team horse for a goddamn lumber. He really got a bargain, I think. One horse was no damn good. Doc and Kate. Doc, he was a hell of a good horse, but Kate, she wasn't worth a damn. She'd run away every chance she got. I remember coming up the road. They used to park that. Remember, they used to have a steamroller. Sober Township had a steamroller. Sometimes they parked it right down at Peter's Corner in that little place.
Oh,
and this damn thing was leaving all steam. We could move that horse on. She was raring and carrying on. I had a lot of experience with my dad and damn horses. One time, we lived there. We had a Ford truck, Model T Ford panel truck. I guess the load of 2 heaven broke the axle of the truck. So he borrowed a market wagon from my uncle Howard. And that's when the tomato factory was in Lambertville. So I went with my dad with 2 horses with his market wagon and stuff. That's when the trolley still went across the bridge. That new old Lumberville, Lambertville. Got that part. Halfway across there, this damn trolley was coming. That horse bit. I thought we was going to live in a river. Was it rare to carry on? Well, I'm glad that old trolley went by. That made a hell of a racket. It had that iron cleats, You don't remember that was there.
I have 2 little dogs that I'm afraid. I try to take them on that bridge, and they won't go on that bridge. The bridge is rattling, the cars are going, and they cower. They don't like that. You have to walk them on the towpath.
Yeah.
So I can imagine with a horse and that racket, and they
dangerous. There's a couple of horses we ever had. Well, my dad, all the horses he ever had, most of them were 100 pastures. My dad wasn't afraid of no horse. He was a horseman.
Mm.
He could handle that damn horse. One time we bought a horse, it was a guy by the name of Bertie, lived up on, just as you go off of Cartersville Road, up McDill Road, across that little bridge, that little farm right on that side of the road. And he raised his horse there. And I guess he sold it somehow, my dad bought this horse. Damn good horse, it always worked for himself. Put her on a horse, she would kick and kick. She broke more damn tongues out of more damn machinery. A beautiful working horse. She was beautiful.
Mm.
She didn't want to work with another horse. She wouldn't break. She one broke that way. A whole while before we could get her out of that.
Morgan horses were very popular, weren't they? Because
they're still coming back. They're coming back again.
They are. I've checked this, Joe. See if we're still on target. We are.
So how long were you in the Grange? Because we were in quite a while, Sue and I, but you were in the Grange before we even joined it.
Yeah.
You must have been a member for...
We joined the Grange in 1957.
You and Matt.
I belong to Tar Hall Grange.
Oh, that's right.
I joined down there when Herb Fortner and all my buddies were down there. And then with my wife, I married Madge.
Yeah.
And Bob Kistner was the nicest man here. One of them.
I never
He's another guy I liked. Really nice. Big, rusty guy.
Or did I know him? I think I didn't.
And he loved kids. Bob Kistner loved kids.
Yeah, yeah.
He sure loved kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And he did it around his own.
Yeah.
But he adopted those two kids, two daughters of Thelma's.
Oh, that's
when
right.
He married Thelma.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Was Thelma married before?
Yes, she was married to Naylor.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was a bastard.
Huh.
He worked her to death.
For who?
He'd work her to death.
Really?
She did the work and he was out raving around somewhere.
Oh, gee.
He lived down there. You know, you got a rice town. If you turn, you come down where the light is.
Yeah.
There's a road, you turn real hard right. Mm-hmm. The farm was up in there someplace, up in there. Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yeah,
they separated him, and she had to go to court to get the kids away from him.
Oh.
And then after that, one daughter went back with him.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah. Huh. That one daughter, Carol's a hell of a nice girl. Very nice, just like Thelma.
Yeah.
Thelma was one of the most generous persons
anybody
ever wanted to meet.
She was in our
She never wanted anything for Thelma. She always think about giving to somebody else. That's the way she was. When she died, I really missed her.
Yeah.
She was one of my best friends. Yeah. She's the one who got me to join the Grange.
Oh, really?
Or join the Farmers Club.